everyone. What a great job everybody's doing this morning. Thanks, Brother Carl, Gabby, and the rest of you. Great time of worship together today as we celebrate Christmas. And we've been doing this for the last month or so in the form of giving thanks for various things, ideas, theologies, these gifts we find in Scripture. Today we're giving thanks for Jesus. We're going to do this in 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. What is Christmas to you today outside of the obvious church answer? What is it to you? What does it mean? What do you give thanks for? Is it food?
Amen.
We have a lot of that, right? Thanks for the food. Family.
Yeah.
The gifts you give, the gifts you receive. Maybe it's traveling for the holidays. Maybe it's the shopping. You get out with your family and shop. Maybe it's the baking. You gather in the kitchen. Maybe it's that fellowship this time of year. The love you feel. The decorations. Maybe it's that white Christmas you always pray for and never seem to get. I think it's supposed to be 60 on Christmas Day. Maybe it's the Christmas sweaters. Got a few of those you like? Maybe it's the family dog named Copper. Whatever it is, give thanks for it. How about Christmas for the Christian? That's your cue. Jesus, right? We give thanks for Jesus this time of year, his birth, what it meant for us. And we're going to do this morning together, specifically by giving thanks for the birth of the Son of God in three parts. Give thanks that he came, give thanks for the reason, and give thanks by glorifying God. 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 15. Let's stand as we read God's word together. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this beautiful service and the lovely music. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Help us lean into it together this morning and give thanks for your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Not quite here yet. It'll be here in a few days. Cache Creek Christmas this morning. I hope everyone got a gift. We'll get the rest of these out if you didn't get one earlier. Traditional church gift. I hope you've enjoyed this time of worship together as much as I have. It's on these days that I always get the feeling I should just get up here and point to the message in the worship, right? The gospel's gone out already. Amen for that. But we're going to take a quick look together at this statement by Paul here to Timothy with the mindset of giving thanks for Christmas. So let's take a look at it. Give thanks that he came. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world. Paul's there. Jesus came into the world. That's a simple statement with an immeasurable impact. This is the point of celebrating Christmas, the birth of the Savior. All across the Old Testament, they were looking forward to it. The prophets said it would happen, and it did. Not only will happen, but happened exactly how they said it. Micah 5:2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah," that word means the Bethlehem of David, it's close to Jerusalem, "who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Jesus the Nazarene was born in Bethlehem. Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." God called Israel from Egypt. We remember this, Moses and the Exodus, and also Jesus and his family, after he was born, had to flee to Egypt and then return home. Out of Egypt, Jesus came. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And maybe we say, well, they called him Jesus. I think they missed one. They did call him Jesus by the words of the angel. That's true. But Emmanuel is a calling out of something. Emmanuel means God with us. They said, it will be God among us. And it happened. And we can point to verse after verse, but I think we get the point. Jesus is who they all point to. And I want us to focus in on that last one for a moment. This verse in Isaiah hits the nail on the head of the magnitude of the moment. It's not just the birth of the Savior, but the very birth of God. Now, I understand it doesn't make sense. God has always been and always will be. He cannot be born, and yet he was. How? Not by being created. Not by coming into existence. Everything exists because of him. Rather, by putting on humanity. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That same word described earlier in John as being with God and being God. The Word was with God and was God. All things come from this Word, and this Word was Jesus. That's the magnitude of the birth of the Son. God in the flesh in that manger, and it was for us. Do we understand that? Do we live our life like we understand that? Do we give thanks like we understand that statement? God stepping out of heaven to be like us in every way but one. That brings us forward in our text this morning. Give thanks for the reason. The reason is wrapped up in who he was for us. Like us in every way but one. Maybe two. He was God, right? And we are not. But also, he was sinless. Don't lose sight of this truth. Sinless is no small task. Have you tried it? Know any sinless people? How often, how long can you remain sinless? We wouldn't count that in years or months and days. We would count that in seconds. People, when we ask those kinds of questions, they always point to maybe babies, right? They're innocent. They're sinless, right? That just means you've never had a child or been around one. Babies throw tantrums, right? Toddlers bite and pinch and punch to get what they want. Look past the manger and the Christmas story and the good food and the fellowship that all come with this day of celebration for a moment. Look past it all and see the sinless Son. had to be sinless. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul's there. Paul writing these words and calling himself the sinner of sinners, calling himself the worst to ever do it. And we know why. He stood against Jesus for it. Haven't we all? Greatest missionary and writer of half the New Testament sees himself as the worst of sinners. Where does that put us? Hold on to that. Verse 16. But I've received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul here tells Timothy and tells us that this is the two-part reason to give thanks for the birth of Jesus. First part, first reason. He came to save sinners. We say that all the time, right? Jesus saves. He came to seek and save. I'm saved. Get saved. Everyone needs saving. What are we saying when we say saved? I think that often, that most of the time, most people do not understand those words. We may understand sacrifice, that's the cross, right? We have our own sacrifices in our life. We may understand him in our place. We may understand his birth and his life and his death for us, but do we understand what it accomplished? Saved from what? Sins, right? No. If he has saved you from your sins, then he failed because you still sin. Right? Not perfect, not sinless, still entangled, so not the reason. Not saved from sin, but saved from the consequences of them, if you believe. If we are repentant. We still sin, but that sin no longer owns you and no longer drags you to the consequences of them. What consequence? We all know this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Saved from eternal death, or better known as hell, and gifted eternal life for heaven instead. That's what it means to be saved. And many walk around with a skewed view of what took place. What do I mean by skewed? I mean people walk around claiming to be saved. Claiming Jesus was born and lived and died for them. God in their place. Claim that while still living in the sin. Still choosing the sin. Now all are still sinners. But the sinner saved fights the sin. The sinner saved goes to war against that thing in their life that means to replace their eternal life with death instead. We know many who have exchanged their eternal gift for momentary pleasure. We know many, and we were one of them until we were awakened to faith in the Son who was born. He came to save us. And second part, second reason, he came so that we could be his example. What does the text say we're an example of? What does Paul say he's an example of? Perfection? Nope. How to live this life? Absolutely not. Don't look to me to see how to live this life. We are the example that points to his patience. Think about that for a second. We're the example that reveals that we needed the patience of God. That's what it says. Ouch. Like a child having to be told 3 or 4 or 5 times what to do, he waits for us. He seeks us and continues to seek us. He forgives us and continues to forgive us. He left heaven for this life. Now think about that. Left heaven for this life. How hard is this life you live? What obstacles are in your way? Has anything been easy? He left perfection for this fallen mess. He left everything to become nothing so that we could have a chance at everything. That's the reason we give thanks. It's not the Christmas gifts or the Christmas lights or the Christmas parties. It's not even the Christmas food, even though that hurts me to say that. Give thanks for all those things. But don't lose sight of the reason. He is the reason. The reason that the worst thing you've ever done, that thing now means nothing in the sight of eternity. The reason that the fact that you are in need of constant forgiveness and patience, and we all are. We all need that. That need has no bearing on your eternity. The reason is him. Born in a manger, yes. Had to grow and learn and live this life just like us, yes. Yet, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He who created all things suffered and died for that creation. That's the birth we celebrate. Give thanks. How? Give thanks by glorifying God. Paul always has these massive statements about who Christ is, and he always has these beautiful prayers. Listen to verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Who's he speaking of? The same person he's always spoken of, Jesus, God with us. To him be honor and glory forever. Amen. How do we give honor and glory to Jesus? How do we, you and me, honor the one we owe all things to? It's Christmas time. We know how to honor people. We give gifts. We show that we're thinking of them and appreciate them. We also give our time. We show that people in our life are so important to us that we show up. We also give our efforts. The planning and the traveling and the shopping and the cooking. This is what we do for people. We go out of our way. What about for the God of all things? What about for the one who took our place? What about for the judge that could have judged, but instead granted mercy for all who believe? What do we do for him? And unfortunately, the answer from our lives lived is actually we do very little for him. Do we give him gifts? Do we give him our time? Do we give him our efforts? If we answered yes to any of these questions, then praise God. And then the follow-up question is, how much? Very little. Our lives are busy. Our lives are full, an hour here or there. We tend to give him the most when we perceive that we need him the most. These are our times of suffering, our times of need. And then when it passes, we put him on standby. Till next time, Jesus. Maybe the question is, when do we need him the most? And the answer from Scripture is obviously all the time. That's the answer. It's not when all else fails, it's only ever always. We need the Creator and Sustainer in our life for our breath and our words and our decisions, and we need Him for our eternity. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and we shall call, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Hebrews 1:3, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Acts 4:11, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is who was born and lived and died for us. This is who took our place. This is who we lean into for salvation. Go back to our question. How do we give honor and glory to Him? We can't return the favor. We can't give Him salvation and eternal life, right? So what do? We give Him our everything. We make Him our priority. We make Him our conversation. And we make our walk a reflection of how He walked for us. It is church participation. You need the family of God, and He wants you here. It is Bible study. You need the Word of God, and He wants you to understand it. It is prayer. We all need that connection to Him. It is the gospel shared. The Word of God is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Your life changed forever by these pages, but it must also come from you. It must come from us. You haven't loved the people in your life if you haven't introduced them to Jesus. And not the Jesus that says all things are good and everything will be okay. You won't find that Jesus in this book. That's the world's Jesus, and that version only ever leads to more world. The Jesus in here sought you out exactly where you were. That's true, but He will never leave you there. Calls you out of where you once lived. Calls you to repentance and dependence on Him. The Jesus in here calls you to hard decisions. Choosing of Him over this desire or that feeling. Him over this action or that thought. Him over all. That's the call. And that call offends the world and opens the eyes of the believer. And it was not without sacrifice. He did not say for you to do anything that He has not done. His blood and His body, His cross, His grave for us, so that we may believe. So that we may have life. So that we may give thanks by giving ourselves to Him and then giving Him to the world. That's what was born that Christmas morning. Do we give thanks? What's on your heart this morning? As we celebrate the birth of the Savior, what weighs you down? Your situation or the situation of someone you love? Your salvation or the salvation of someone you love? We're going to have one more chance to worship together this morning as we sing. And as we sing this song, feel free to pray where you are. Or you can come down and pray down front. You can pray with me. You can pray together with someone you're close by. Pray with your family. Lift up your praise and lift up your prayers like we know what was given for us over Christmas. Bring anything at all as we sing. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time together this morning. We thank you that we have this place and we have these people. We thank you that we can gather and worship your holy name and we can sing these songs and we can enjoy this Christmas season. But Father, I ask you that you help us to forever remember the reason why we gather. The reason why we have this thing called Christmas. The reason is the Son. Help us forever remember what Jesus did for us. It wasn't merely a birth. God in the flesh changed everything. And we thank you so much for this. Help us appreciate this more every day. Help us share your message with all we encounter this holiday season. Help us lift up our burdens to you together as the family of God. In Jesus' name I pray.